Paul has dealt with the problem that the church in Rome was having. He has dealt with it in chapter 14. And now as he comes into chapter 15, we're going to look at verses 1 through 13 tonight. And I call this study tonight Constructive Instructions. Constructive Instructions. After dealing with the problem, you have to have an answer. No need of surfacing the problem if we don't have an answer to solve it. So that's good leadership. That's good leadership, and that has to follow. If you surface a problem, you got to have an answer and a solution. What do you do with it? Well, for them, he reminded them that there is an event coming for all Christians called the judgment seat of Christ, where all Christians are going to be judged. He told them that. He took them to the event. But that's not the solution. You got to have a solution. You got an event that you better be prepared for and understand that. And he reminded them that you have no biblical authority to judge one another or pass judgment on one another and so forth. And after dealing with all that, now he's going to give them a solution. Constructive instructions, which takes us verses 1 through 13 tonight. Number one, we are to support the weak. Support the weak. We then that are strong. Ought. Can't force anybody to do anything, but strong people want to do right. Spiritual people want to do right. Right? Spiritual people always want to do right. So we that are strong ought. That word is suggestive, not command. That's suggestive. But spiritual people, if we're strong in the faith, then we shouldn't have to be commanded to do what's right. We should automatically do what's right. And so what we are to do is to bear the infirmities. Be a crutch for someone. Be a cane for someone. Support them. Sustain them that are weak. Now, this is a life. I've reminded people along a lot of times during my ministries, life is not a one-way street. If you make life a one-way street, it's going to be an awful lonely life. Life is a two-way street. But a lot of people like to live on a one-way street. That's the way they live. They're very isolated. They're not approachable. They're not personal. And that's problematic, especially in the Christian life, in Christian ministry. And so some people, you know, they pull, like God pictured the nation of Israel, they pulled the shoulder away. Pulled the shoulder away. Don't mess with me. And if that happens, you can only do what is suggested. You ought. And that means make an attempt. Make an attempt. Try to help people. Don't condemn them. That never has helped anybody. To condemn, judge, pass judgment, criticize, that has never helped anyone. Not in the sense of judging to elevate one above another. And that's what this judgment does. It elevates one above another. Now, of course, the Word of God is oftentimes critical toward us. It rebukes us. The Word of God many times corrects us and so forth. That's what it's given for. But when the individual themselves, based upon their own opinion and observation, because people don't know facts and people can't read people's hearts. That's why God says don't judge. So we can't see people's hearts and we don't know the facts. So only God does. And so he reserves that activity only to himself. So anything that we would come up with would be, as we emphasized, would be observation. And you can't pass judgment based upon observation or opinion, or it's going to be fact, and we don't know the facts. And so many people elevate themselves when they do that, and nothing is ever accomplished. It destroys people. It doesn't help people. So we are to support the weak. And that the weak there does not mean physical illness. Now, we just went through a list, and it goes on and on and on and on. And every week there are just more and more of physical ailments. And they are predicting, and I don't know, I haven't watched the news since November. I'm serious. I've not had the news on since November. I'm not turning it on. We do not watch any live television. Anything we watch, we record it. That's all I do. I record it. I'm so sick of the commercials, and I'm so sick of I call them predators, and politics. I'm just so sick of hearing it. I don't even turn it on. So I don't have no idea what's going on. But I did read tonight on Facebook a quote from our representative from Ohio, Johnson, that he's quoting somebody in Washington concerning this pandemic we're under, that what is coming, I forget exactly how he worded it, but it's not pretty. It's already hit France, and France is on total lockdown. No domestic flights. Schools automatically closed down, shut down all airports, everything. France is on total lockdown. And they say there are these strains that's coming out from this. I don't know what it is, but they said it's coming, and it's coming fast, and it is alarming and devastating and extremely deadly. So they said it's coming. I don't know. But anyway, I'm tired of hearing it, so I don't know what's going on other than just what I pick up on Facebook that somebody posts now and then, and you have to take all that with a grain of salt. Because 99.99% of social media is a bunch of garbage. You couldn't believe it? You couldn't believe it. So we must, right here, and that's what we're going to find out tonight, the solution. That's exactly what Paul does. So we have to bear the weak. And again, he's not talking about physical weak. That's how I got over on the physical rabbit trail. He's talking about spiritual weaknesses. Spiritual weaknesses. A lack of spiritual development. A lack of spiritual faith. For whatever reason, people are weak. And we went into some of those scenarios of reasons why people may be weak in faith when we first began chapter 14, and we're not going to go back and do that anymore. But anyway, we are to bear, that means support, the infirmities of the weak. Bear the infirmities of the weak. He's giving them the solutions. He's giving them constructive instructions. You want peace and tranquility in your ministries? Help each other. Now, that said, I'm going to go back, and I left this out when we studied Romans chapter 7. We studied spiritual gifts, and we studied those seven. And now I want to show you a gift tonight that everybody has. Everybody has it. Hold your finger there in Romans chapter 15. Turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, there is mixed in chapter 12 a mixture of spiritual gifts and sign gifts. Some of these sign gifts have disappeared and they're not active today. Some of the spiritual gifts are still active today. But chapter 12 is a design chapter to show how the spiritual body of Christ works compared to a physical body and how it functions. That's what he does. He takes a human body and shows how a human body functions and compares that to the spiritual body of Christ and how the spiritual body is to work. And in that, and of course remember, and always keep in mind when you read your Bible, that when this was written to the people that received it, they had no Bible. Always keep that in mind. They had no Bible, no New Testament. They may have been fortunate enough to have a copy of the Old Testament translated, but they had no New Testament. It was just being written. I drove that home yesterday down to college to the students. You got to, when this was written, a lot of this was still a mystery. It was just being unveiled. It was just being revealed as it was being written and then circulated. It took time and so forth. So the body of Christ was a mystery and how it functioned. And Paul just pictured it as a human body. So, but it took sign gifts to help because there was no written word circulating. So it took sign gifts until the complete Word of God was canonized and circulated among the early church and so forth. And that didn't happen until the second, third century. So back then it was tough times. And so it took a gift of prophecy. The guy would have a gift to stand up and prophesy. We don't have that gift today. When the Word of God was closed, there is no new prophecies. There is not. What God has to say to the world and to mankind is said. There is no new prophecies. There, and so forth. But anyway, there are some in this chapter still functioning. There are some that has been isolated and done away with, as much of God's program has followed that pattern down through the history of mankind. But the gift I want to show you is in chapter 28 of chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church, and this is leadership. Who puts the leadership? God does. First, apostles. There are no more apostles. When John the apostle died, that office ceased to be. Secondarily, prophets. When John the prophet, he died, they ceased. Thirdly, teachers. That's a gift. That still functions, and that coincides with Romans chapter 12. Teachers was a gift. After that, miracles. And God is a miracle-working God. And he can work miracles. But he don't need an individual to do it. He don't need an individual to do it. And what may be a miracle in one person may not be a miracle in another person's life. There, you can't lay a foundation down. My question always was, if it's God's will for God to heal everybody, why didn't he heal that lame man that lay beside the temple every day and begged and waited for Peter to heal him? And the Epaphroditus said that they left sick and almost died. Why didn't Paul heal him? You see, there's no standard there. So it only in God's will, healing. And God can still heal today, miraculously. God can do things today when the medical field says, like for Mary Ann, there's no hope. They basically told her in Columbus the same thing they told her in Zanesville. There's nothing we can do. Your heart is just plugged. Everything's plugged. Everything is clogged. And there's nowhere to start. There's just nothing we can do except put a new heart in you. And so she's on a waiting list. And the medical field, but God, we still have a miracle-working God. So that gift is not mankind. That's one of the characteristics of God, one of the very natures of God, miracle. So yes, there are miracles, but not through people. the gifts of healings, helps, is that our word? There's our word. Amen. The gift of help. Notice that next word. Governments. We're not going there. I want you to notice that wee little word right there. Helps. Everyone has that gift. To reach out to help. Amen. See it? That functions. If anybody or everyone that names the name of Christ and has Christ in their heart ought to live a life that would be willing to extend their heart, their hand, and their pocket, if necessary, to anyone in need. And that's what Paul told Timothy back in 2 Timothy 3:16. If any man sees his brother in need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion toward him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You see. So when we see somebody having it, we need to step up and be a volunteer. So the ministry of helps. Now back to Romans chapter 15. And you see that word bear. That goes along with Galatians chapter 6. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are to support the weak. If we claim to be in the category of the strong, then we need to be in the activity of helping people. Condemning people, criticizing people, kicking people, or ministry or whatever, has never helped anybody. Helps. Helps. So he's giving them constructive instructions. You help one another. You don't hurt one another. You help one another by helping them to bear the infirmity. And infirmities is a word that normally relates to the physical, but here it's, of course, spiritual, because the weak is not physically weak, it's spiritually weak compared to chapter 1 of 14. They were weak in faith. Now it goes on to say, we ought to be in the ministry of helping others and not please ourselves. Not to live to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. That means to build up, to hold up, like a set of crutches. Remember a couple years ago when my right lumbar and my right hip and my right knee was completely unfunctionable. It didn't want to do what I want to do. I stood here many Wednesday nights on crutches and taught. I've never been a teacher to sit. I have to be up and moving and so forth. But I taught on crutches. And finally that place down there across from Genesis there, off of Maple Avenue, that sports place there, they got treatments and things, finally got me back on my feet. But just like you have a set of crutches, you can't put weight on your feet. You got an infirmity there. So you got to have something to rest yourself on. That's what we need to do one for another. That's my heart depends on my lungs giving it air. And my heart depends upon, everything depends on my heart pumping enough blood to keep everything alive. And we can learn so much from the human body as to how the spiritual body of Christ is to function. My whole body works together so that this body can function. We need to support to the edification, to build up. Now, that's number one, support the weak. Second, see the example. Nothing like putting out a good example. Verse 3 is the example. Even Christ pleased not himself, But as it is written, and he is quoting directly from Psalm 69:9. The reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. I got what you deserved. I bore your infirmity. I bore your weakness. And that's exactly what Isaiah chapter 53 says. He bore our infirmities. He bore ours. He bore it. He carried it. So if Christ is our example, and we're Christians and God's children, then and Christ is in us, then our life ought to reflect Him. And one of the areas of our life that reflects Him is helping people. He went over in the book of Acts, it says He went about doing good. We say, what about if they don't want you to help them? Then, you know, you have to say you're on your own. You want to be a crutch to someone and they don't want to lean on you for a while, they'll have to limp around by themselves. I'll tell you one thing. The times I've had both wrists broken, I've had bones broken in this foot, I've had this knee broke right below the knee, I've been banged up pretty bad over the years. There have been times I've had to have crutches and casts and so forth. But I want to tell you, to put weight down, after I had this cast off, when I broke this knee right here over in Romania, that was in 04, fall of 04. I was laid up 10 weeks. And when they took that cast off and they said, now, the bone has healed. We set it, and it's perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. But he said, you've not bent your knee for so many weeks, and your knee is saturated with arthritis. They said, it's not going to be the broken leg that's going to give you fits. He said, it's going to be that knee that's saturated with arthritis because it's stiff as a board in there, and it's not been moved. And he said, you'll find that out when you try to put weight down on your leg. And when I tried, I put weight down. I went down. Because my leg wouldn't support me. It just wouldn't support me. So even though I had the cast off, and even though the bone was healed, I still couldn't walk. And it was another 6-7 weeks walking with a cane, crutches, finally a cane and so forth before I was able. And then quite a while, several months, before I got back to normal. I had to have help. I had to have help physically. I couldn't function. That's the body of Christ. The body of Christ cannot. I want to tell you tonight, you and I have both got a brother in Christ tonight that's hurting. And he is hurting deep and he is hurting bad. His name is Mel Brown. And he's confused. He's frustrated. I just spoke with him again. He's called me now 3 or 4 times. I very seldom ever hear from him. He's called me 3 or 4 times in the last 24 hours. And I told him, I said, Mel, I understand it, brother. I said, my heart goes out to you, and we pray for you. And I read scripture to him, and I tell him, and we're praying for him. And he's about to lose his second daughter in 1 year. And, hey, people need help. And we get so wrapped up in our own little life. That's one of the big problems with us and with this preacher. We get so wrapped up with our own lives and our own activity and things, we forget what we're here for. We need to be reaching out and helping others and not be wrapped around our own life. There sits a family right there on the back pew that has had a plate full for years. And the plate is not getting any emptier. If anything, more being put on it. They need our help. I know they're spiritual enough and they know that we're here for them. They know that, without a doubt. But it's always good to let them know it. Helen Gales is going to be 94, 95. Boy, it'd be good for her to get a card. Let her know. I know she put a pretty negative statement out. Where is my brothers and sisters here several months ago? Where is all my friends that I thought I had friends? You know, encouraging people. That word edification, the last word in verse 2, that means to build up. People are down. They're discouraged. It's a distressful time. It's not, you know, if you're in the category of being depressed, discouraged, and all that, the best way to jump out of that? Go help somebody. Go help somebody. Go be a crutch for somebody. Best way to jump out of it. Go help somebody. Helping people, that's fulfilling the law of Christ. And that's Paul's solution. Paul said, quit kicking each other and start helping one another. Quit pointing fingers at each other and condemning each other. You're not going forward that way. You're only hurting yourself. Start helping one another. This is the solution. This is what he's given them. And look to Christ as your example. No better example. And he quotes to them. And he's going to give them now. Wow. He's going to unload on them. He's going to unload on them. So he quotes the example in Psalm 69:9. And now, verses 4 through 13, he tells them, you better start searching the scriptures. So number one, support the weak. Number two, see the example. Number three, search the scriptures. And boy, now, people down at the college, I even got some outlines, and they said, what's happened to you? You've never preached outlines. But sometimes it's easier to teach a passage by outline. Now, verse 4, this is where he's going to take them. Whatsoever things were written, there it is. Whatsoever things written. Now, here's the ultimate goal, and then we're going to look at what's written, and we're going to be out of time. The ultimate goal is in verse 6. That ye may with one mind, one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the goal line. That's the goal post. That's what we want to cross every day. Let my life, my mind, my mouth, may it glorify the Lord. At the end and the conclusion of every day, may my mind and my mouth, my life, may it glorify the Lord. That's the goal. May this ministry, this church that sits on this corner, has existed over 175 years in Dresden, may this ministry continue with its mouth, its message, its outlet, may it continue to glorify Him. For when any life or any ministry ceases and stops to glorify Him, we've lost our course and we're off course. And it's not going to end well. That's the goal. That's the goal line. Every day, as we conclude every day, the day ought to have been spent with our mind and our mouth, with one mind, with one mouth, as a whole unit together, glorifying the Lord. Now you find whatsoever things were written aforetime. Were written what for? What were they written for? Whatsoever things, I'm back up in verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Not just to take up space. They were written for our learning. And I'm about out of time. I'll have to finish this next Wednesday night. So I want you to jump down to verse 9 and look in the middle of the verse, verse 9, as it is written. Now I'm going to give you what he's quoting. We're going to look at these verses next week. I don't have time tonight. I'm out of time. verse 9, as it is written. Now remember, don't lose sight of verse 4. What's this for? For our learning. So what we can cross the goal line, and what's this what? To glorify the Lord. So as it is written, and in verse 9, he quotes Psalm 18:49. Then he goes down to verse 10, and again. And in verse 10, he quotes Deuteronomy 32:43. Then verse 11, and again. And in verse 11, he quotes Psalm 117, verse 1. And verse 12, and again. I love that. I'm telling you, I just love that. Verse 10, and again. Verse 11, and again. Verse 12, and again. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Scriptures as it was written for our learning. So what does he do? Just like a machine gun, brrr, he just unloads a bunch of scriptures, which has to do with them. Which has to do with them. And we'll look at that next week. Has to do with the Gentiles, the heathens, which were included in the program of God. Total mystery. Total mystery. As far as the Old Testament was concerned, when it closed, God had a chosen nation, and its name was Israel, not in good shape, but its name was Israel, and there was only a small remnant of them that were even anywhere near close to being right with God. As far as the rest of the world and all of its nations, there's no mention of anything of them except the world powers and the world kingdoms that they're going to rule over God's chosen people that Daniel gave. Other than that, we don't have any idea, no understanding that the Gentiles are going to be involved in God's program until you start reading what's been written. And what he's about to do is about to say, as it is written for your learning, God spoke of you in Deuteronomy. As you're learning, God spoke of you in the Psalms. Look what God said about you. And at the time that he is writing this, Rome is the world power politically. Rome is where Caesar lives, and Rome rules the world. And not very pretty and not very nice in the political sense. These things were written for our learning. And then he goes, as it is written, and again, and again, and again, like a machine gun unloading scripture upon scripture upon scripture. And the best way to solve a solution is to see yourself in the scripture. And that's what Paul's doing. Paul's saying, yes, I surfaced the problem. Now I'm going to give you the solution. And the solution is take a look at your Savior and then take a look at the Scriptures. And that's the solution. And do what the Lord left you upon the earth to do. Bear one another's burdens. Support the weak. Don't kick them. Support the weak. Ministries need messages like this tonight. We think we live in a divided country and we live in a divided world. Satan's goal to conquer is divide. You conquer by dividing. That's Satan's trick. And ministries tonight are hurting, and families are divided and squabbling and bickering and fighting. And it's time to come together. And I'm going to tell you, there is no social program that's going to bring us together. It's going to be this book right here. It's going to be God in the person of Jesus Christ. If there's any hope, if there's any degree of light at the end of the tunnel, it's going to be this book with Jesus Christ. It's going to bring a healing and a bringing a unity back together in any situation or any source. That's the solution. Just always remember that. The solution, as a Christian, The solution to any of my problem is right here in the Scriptures. And that's where Paul took them. These things were written for our learning. As it is written. As it is written. And again. And again. And again. And just in a few short verses. And next week we'll see what he said when he says "and again." And what he's going to do is take a good look at yourself and what God said about you before you ever existed. Before you ever existed. So don't, because you think you're strong, put down somebody else because they don't match up to where you think they ought to be. Support them. Sustain them. Take a look at Christ and what he did and what the Scriptures in Psalm 69 said he would do. And that in Isaiah 53. Here's the answer, folks. And I want to tell you tonight, if this don't have the answer, we might as well go find a hole somewhere and crawl in it. If this don't have the answer, we might as well go find a hole somewhere and crawl in it. But this does have the answer, and we have to allow it to have its perfect work in our life as it is unveiled to us. It is given for our learning. I want to finish verse 4, and then I am finished. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, excuse me, comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. There it is. Comfort of the Scriptures. So he gave them constructive instructions. Support the weak. See the Savior. See your example. And search the Scriptures. See yourself in Christ and see yourself in his word. And we'll look at that next week. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Solving the problem. Amen. And Paul did it masterfully. He did it. All right. Well, keep Mel in prayer. Keep Nancy and Greg in prayer as they continue to do. I didn't hear all of that. Your mother goes for surgery on the 13th. And somebody has something about outpatients? You have outpatient. Friday? I couldn't hear it all. Okay. So keep all these things in prayer. Amen. We have a miracle working God. Jenny Garver has a birthday April 7th, and she'll be 90. She'll be 91. I thought she was going to be 90. Wow. Anybody know what specific date Helen Gales is on? I know it's in April. I know Gene would know. You know. Pardon? Hers is the 21st. All right, put a note in the bulletin. I'll forget. Put a note in the bulletin. Let's give Jenny Garver on the 7th. And Helen Gales on the 21st, car shower. Just put that in the bulletin on Sunday, if you would, Rich. All right? All right, words of encouragement in tough and difficult days. All right, shall we pray? Our Father, thank you tonight for the time we've had in the Word of God, for the wonderful truths of it. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God that taught us and brought us to the wonderful truths that you give us. Lord, without you, we could understand nothing. But with you, we have all the solutions. Lord, with all these prayer requests tonight, especially for Mary Ann and for Mel, Lord, we don't understand. But we know you do, and you're in control. We commit this situation for the Brown family into your hands. For Greg and for Nancy, Nancy's mother, and for Nancy on Friday, we pray that all these things that's coming up, Lord, our great God in heaven would look upon, smile upon in grace and strength. Wrap your arms around these folks. Let them know your love, your grace and strength that passes all understanding, the great peace of God in all their hearts. We just commit all of this to you. Lord, the list goes on for the people that need our prayers and our support and our encouragement. Sometimes just a phone call, sometimes a card. I know the many cards that I've received over the years, little words of encouragement, what they meant to my heart at the time. Lord, help us to be a help to one another in these latter days, difficult days. Lord, we need each other as much, Lord, now in these days as we've ever had. And Lord, you need us to need each other and to need you. As the song says, I need thee every hour. So help us, Lord, in these difficult hours and these difficult times as we prepare to soon, we believe, to come out and be with you and live eternity. And Lord, help us, we pray. Now, dismiss us with thy blessings upon us. Keep our church family safe and blessed. Give us, Lord, a blessed Easter on Sunday. Be with all those that's traveling. For Donnie and Kathy, as they'll be going to Texas. For Dean and Orlita, as they're traveling. And for the Hoys, as they're traveling. Many others are going to be away this weekend. May, Lord, your traveling mercies be upon and with all of these. And may they have a blessed time away and a good time, Lord, with family and friends to whom all, wherever they're going. And, Lord, just give us a blessed day here as we reflect upon the day that it was declared, he's not here, he is risen. Thank you, Lord, for that great truth. Now dismiss us with thy blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming out this evening.